I haven't watched much college basketball this year. I'm kind of winging it.
There we go. Taking care of business.
I'm ranked 393,268th. That's not bad.
These small schools are playing inspired basketball.
Yeah!
At least they covered, but I didn't need them to win.
Yes!
I knew they were gonna upset. I picked them to win.
Kind of on a little heater right now.
I don't like how close this is at halftime.
Sharon, your bracket is in the 99th percentile? What the?
That's it for me. They were in my final four.
I don't think there's any perfect brackets left after today.
There we go. At least I've still got UConn.
Guess that's why they call it March Madness.
Damn it. What the hell is that?
Stone on Air coming up.
Completely unsanctioned by the church.
Stone on Air.
Whatever, let's just do this.
Stone on Air.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Give human beings opportunity, and you'll be absolutely shocked with what people do with it.
Stone on Air coming up.
Stone on Air.
Well, if March Madness guy has not annoyed you beyond belief yet, there's still a couple of weeks left, so give it some time. Welcome in, everybody, and I can also be that annoying March Madness guy from time to time. This is the Stone on Air podcast, the midweek download destination for thousands in the city of Chattanooga. I often say the most listened to podcast in the city. Is that true? Is that factual? Is that reality? You may never know.
Life, a generation.
The reason I say that way this moment is it just popped into my head. I was kicking around some ideas for a show recently, and I don't remember exactly the crux of it, but it was going to be focused around lying. You know, just this country's just built on a foundation of falsehoods. That wasn't what it was. It was something else. I don't remember. And my main point that I like wrote down a note to self on my, probably on my phone notepad, was that there's only one time that it is okay to lie. Because I'm even of the school of thought that the white lies, right? Oh, there's just a little white lie. No, white lies are still lies, and you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't say things. You shouldn't spread things that are not truthful if you know that they're not. And the only time I have kind of deducted, if you will, is the only time that it's okay to lie is if you know for a fact that you cannot be refuted, that it could never be proven otherwise. If you have a very, very rare instance like that, and you know it'll never be disproven, then go ahead, tell your lie. That's fine. The reality is we're almost never in a situation that what you're saying can't be proven to be false if it is. So the amount of times, the sample of times you'll be able to get away with that is so small that it's okay to lie occasionally. And in this case, I don't even know how many people listen to this show. So there's no way you can prove that I'm wrong. And that's the only point I'm trying to make there. Who am I? My name is Brian. I do this show every week. I appreciate you guys and gals finding the show. Right off the top, this is a dead-ass week. It's really a dead-ass month. There has just been nothing hardly locally in the last few weeks to talk about. A couple of things to have a little bit of fun with, and I'll expand on that just momentarily. First, I want to thank the presenting sponsor of the show, Talk with Lee Brock, today, as a matter of fact, as we're kicking around some new ideas for some different kind of spots and some different kind of social media ideas. Lee does real estate, and he does it better than anybody else in the city. Get a hold of him, 653-2491, or email lee@lindabrockhomes.com. So a three-segment show as normal, 20 minutes each, roughly. In the second segment of the show, the Lookouts have this new concept, a new branding of their name for a very small portion of the year, and I will expand on that and where it comes from. And also the brand new Pearl Jam song is out, so of course I'll have some commentary and thoughts on that. And in the third segment of the show, I'll take a look and listen at the new one from Jason Lyles, local musician here in town, been doing it for quite some time. And at the end of the day, I just like the song and I want to play it coming out of break. talk about it for a few, and then segue into my latest addiction that I need to kick, that I need to get away from. And I'll leave it at that for now, and that'll be the third segment of the show. Sorry, again, nothing going on here. I'm grasping for anything to talk about. And so, I mean, there's always things I can come. I mean, I can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, but I try to have at least a little bit of something worth doing. So I'll attempt my best, starts right now. Saw this as I was walking out the door earlier. The Red Wolves, local soccer wannabe team, has canceled their first two games of the season. Their home opener was this weekend, Saturday night. I wasn't going to go probably, but I generally do have access to go to those games if I want. And I thought about the possibility of doing it. I've got a free weekend with Easter weekend coming up. I don't really have any obligations this weekend. And they canceled it and the second home opener because they're replacing the field. I think it's field turf. I think it's that, you know, the fake stuff. I don't know if they're going with real grass or just putting in a new surface. Kind of seems odd that this new into their existence, they would need to resurface the field already. But really, the entire the concept of this secondary minor league soccer team was absurd from the jump when I first heard about it 5+6 years ago. And I've tried to be a fan and tried to be, you know, a supporter. And I have gone to some games and I've said some nice things. And I've also said some not so nice things. The development over there has stalled terribly. It still looks like a construction site. And I don't understand what they're trying to do. And now they're canceling games. You had a whole offseason to do this. And they don't have the field ready. There's barely anything there. There's a really nice scoreboard, which is just basically a billboard that's way off the interstate. And a decent executive club kind of area. And then a bunch of crappy seats and a field. And a slab of concrete. That's all this place is. So, not a very good start to the 2024 season. I've questioned the viability of this from the start, and it looks like without something changing in the near future, I would say the long-term future for the Chattanooga Red Wolves, along with their logo and likeness and all that, the litigation from Arkansas State, who sued them over their name and logo, with all that up in the air too, I'd say the future is not so clear, we'll say, at this point. So if you're looking for soccer in East Ridge this weekend, it ain't going to happen. I spent a few minutes talking about this new squares board with NCAA, the NCAA tournament. It's kind of, it's like the Super Bowl squares, except for the basketball games and where you get the two numbers and it lasts for the whole tournament. And I won't reset all that. I probably shouldn't even spend as much time as I did on it. Because it turns out it ain't that cool. Because at the end of the day, it's just gambling. And gambling isn't that cool. And it's fine. I mean, I'm okay with it. But it's just not quite as exciting as I thought it was going to be. And I was in one of my sports threads with friends. And this was about the Vols basketball game. Which was one of the worst basketball games I've ever watched. Between Texas the other night. And everybody on there knows I don't care anything about the Vols, and they make jokes about it. Like, so, you bet you're really excited. And I was like, yeah, no, actually, I'm looking for a 4 and a 9 in the final score. So if I can get that, I'll be happy. See, I can ruin sports with gambling too, was my response there. And didn't hit my numbers. Still haven't hit my numbers through the first weekend of the tournament. A couple of closings here locally. The Spot over on Main Street. Kind of tried to believe in that end of Main Street before it was cool to do. I've been there a time or two, and it was just to grab a beer and a bite. And my memory tells me I thought it was pretty good. The building itself, the atmosphere, the way it was set up felt good. But both times I went, there was nobody there. So that might be kind of, you know, leading to why they're closing and or not closing. They have closed. I wish I stopped in there when I was drinking coffee so I could have had a sample of what they do there and one, you know, and stack it up against local coffee roasters. But I didn't drink coffee then. and they're gone. And it's right as that side of Main Street starts to pick up. Yellow Racket Records is right down the street. Lo Main, a little bit further down, speaking of coffee, why am I blanking all of a sudden on their name? Sleepyhead. Sleepyhead just down the road. It sucks that they got in maybe just a little too early, and they are now closed. They were there for 7 years. That is a good little run, but they are now gone. Also gone, not a local place, but worth mentioning, because I was going to talk about it for a minute anyway at some point. Party Foul over at the mall. This is a huge chain, mini chain, I guess I'll call it, hot chicken joint out of Nashville. And the one I've been to in Nashville, it was many years ago, but it was bumping. Like, it was really popular. Now, everything in Nashville at this time, then, now, and over the last decade or so is really popular, whether it's any good or not. And I went to the one that the only one we have in the mall, which is just such a depressing place to be. I already knew that, but I knew it even more when I walked around before I met my brother and some friends to play trivia and to grab dinner. And I can't even begin to get into how awful the experience was. It was so bad that it was funny. Like, it was completely humorous. I was chuckling. I was like, let's see what can be terrible next. Like, how many times can awfulness approach us at this place? And I knew that they were in some financial trouble from a national standpoint, but I didn't know they were closing that store. And I found out shortly after that they were, and it made perfect sense. And now they're gone. So don't look for hot chicken at the mall from Party Foul. I do want to mention coming up next week, a week from right now, Wednesday night, April 3rd, the start of the best month ever, Flip Turn. They are a band out of Florida, American indie rock band, formed in 2015. They were at Moon River this past year, and Barry and Lord Taco and myself from the What Podcast interviewed these guys and gals. It was a fun time, and the show was fun as well. And I am telling you about this because they're giving me tickets to go to the show. So this is a, what do they call that, quid pro quo, right? This is not me just like super excited about it. It's me telling you because they're giving me free tickets. So I'm just letting you know. While we're talking about truths and falsehoods here, that's what this is about. So if you're interested in that, well, there you go. See you at the Signal on Wednesday next week. All right, let's see. I'm just going through my list here. I got more than I'll get to, so I'm cherry picking a little bit. The Road to Nightfall is in the books. I mentioned the other week that I kind of feel like this event has run its course, and I feel like that even more so. And I don't want to be a hater, and I want to be a dick about it, but I went to look for the winners, and I wanted to do a short mention, not a segment, just a mention like I'm doing right now, and talk about the winners who will now be all competing at the same on the same night, sometime in April, for a chance to headline Nightfall. All right. I mean, in theory, it's a fun idea. Nice idea. But the Road to Nightfall Facebook page had a little, not a lot, and a bunch from last year as far as posts and information. Soundcore, which is funded by the city, run by Stratton Tingle, a friend of mine. Love you, Stratton. Thanks for listening to the show, bro. I don't think he actually listens, but he's been a supporter, and I'm a supporter of his. The Soundcore Facebook page had a little bit more information, but not really fully complete, and a lot of random-ass reels that were done through Instagram that then were infiltrated into Facebook, and they weren't done real well. I mean, they were just kind of done like a live stream kind of thing, which is just really kind of worthless in that capacity there in the Facebook page. Maybe it worked better on Instagram. I don't know. Couldn't find any information there. To hell with the road to nightfall.com. There ain't going to be anything there. And then Nightfall themselves, nothing there. And so I don't know who won these nights. I saw a few of them. I know my guys Planet with the inverted V as the A, Planet. They won one of the nights of Road to Nightfall. Now, Planet has the resume and the backlog catalog of music, and longevity in this city. My guy Wes Hartman is a front man of that band. He used to be the drummer of Downstream back in the day, now the lead singer of Planet. He's a machine. He will never stop making music in this town, no matter how many people don't care. And God bless you, Wes. They won one night. They should be playing Nightfall without having to win a contest. I've said that about many of the bands in this city. They qualify as a band that should be considered to headline Nightfall and not have to win a contest to do it. Well, in this case, they did win a contest for one of the nights, and I don't know who the hell else they're playing has won, because the social medias and the websites aren't telling me. And that is screams of a couple different things. It screams, one, of a disorganized organization that doesn't have the manpower to keep all this stuff updated, or it screams of an organization that is slowly choking away and not here for the long haul much longer. That's usually what a lack of a social media presence means. It's either a fade out or an upstart. And in this case, it feels more, well, I know it's not an upstart. It's been around for some time now. It feels like a fade out. So, I mean, I want to know. I would likely go to the showcase, wherever it's going to be, and I can't find the information. Yeah, the road to Nightfall, it has definitely run its course. Let's take that one out back and be done with it. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. That's not what anybody here locally wants to hear, but that's what it feels like to me. So that's my whole sheet there. It says Road to Nightfall, winners, and then Planet. That's it. So did you see the McClellan Island? They were going to do the controlled burn. They called it a prescribed burn. I've always heard of it as being called a controlled burn, whatever, semantics. But turns out the damn island, of course, the one that's right underneath the Vets Bridge there in downtown, was too green. And they had it was a complete failure. Couldn't get anything to catch. And people had some fun with it. Put a lot of smoke in the air, but it didn't really do anything. So they've gone the route, the good old hillbilly route. If you need ground clear, then just get yourself some goats. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to put a bunch of goats on McClellan Island to try to clear off the what is just clear to the naked eye if you didn't even know any better. It's always looked overgrown. The problem here is that goats can swim. I read this, so I guess it's true. I don't know. I didn't fact check it, but they can swim pretty well from what I understand. And I guess if they get bored, they could start swimming. And maybe they swim at the wrong time. That could be dangerous. So this could be like, for a variety of different reasons. So this could be a PETA thing. The waterways, I'm guessing, are probably pretty dormant at this time of year. But that's going to be changing. Like every day we get into the warmer weather, that'll be changing. That could also be problematic. We'll see. I just thought worthy of at least mentioning, with just a couple minutes here in the open left. The last thing I'll say is the Chattanooga Times Free Press, I will just put the wraps on their ridiculous podcast story from the other week. And I had a glaring omission that I should have mentioned. Fast Reset, they named 6 podcasts, and many of the most popular ones in town were not even listed. So if you know, you know. If you care, you care. But another one that they left out was the Expired podcast, done by Natalie Gard, formerly of Hits 96 and Sunny 92.3. She's on to a new broadcast destination at some point, which she has not mentioned out loud yet. And she does the Expired podcast with Macy Bookout. Her name officially is Macy Bookout McKinney. She is one of those teen mom types that was on MTV. I think that's where her fame comes from. And they do a crime podcast, and it does very, very well. I'll just be 100% honest with you here. I could lie because you couldn't prove me wrong. I've never listened to it. I don't know if it's any good or not, but I do know that it has a very, very strong social media following and presence. And that usually leads to listeners, especially when you have somebody like Macy Bookout, formerly of MTV, and that just brings another whole level of audience. So just another example of the malpractice that was the Chattanooga Times Free Messes piece on local podcast. And I will get out right there. Coming up next, the new song from Pearl Jam. You'll hear a little bit of it, my thoughts on it. And what are the Lookouts doing? Are they changing their nickname? Are they changing the name of the team? Well, spoiler alert, no. But kind of. A little bit. Sort of. More next. Hang tight.
Stone on air.
Well, for some of us, we could use the word unfortunately when I say this. The secret is no longer a secret. It's out. Everybody knows, or anybody who wants to know knows, that this is a fantastic place to live. The city of Chattanooga and all the surrounding metro areas. And that is just a reality that we're all going to have to live in. But what it also means is your property value has skyrocketed. And if you don't have property that has skyrocketed too, that means you don't have property and maybe you want to change that. The renting game is fine, works for a lot of people, but if you're like most of us and you want to stay in this exemplary community, then owning is the direction you're likely going to want to go, and Lee Brock is the guy who's going to help you make that happen. He's a lifelong Chattanoogan, knows this market inside and out. Give Lee Brock a call, 653-2491, or shoot an email, lee@lindabrockhomes.com.
Now back to more Stone on Air.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
StoneOnAir.com.
It is number one on the Billboard rock chart. First time Pearl Jam has had a song do that in 26 years.
The success of this song is an indication that Pearl Jam still resonates with new listeners. And I think that's why it matters. Okay, forget the sales figures. I mean, that matters to obviously certain sectors. But what I think is the most salient takeaway is the fact that Pearl Jam continues to grow as a band. They continue to push the boundaries and the depth and breadth of their own sound. But more importantly, they're reaching new ears, because it's not just old fans that are driving these numbers.
That's another thing about Pearl Jam. Welcome back in. This is the brand new Pearl Jam song from the new record Dark Matter. The song's called Running. The voices you just heard are from a podcast called State of Love and Trust, a Pearl Jam podcast done by a couple of guys out of California. They do an okay job with it, but they're so wrong in everything you just heard there. So wrong in everything you just heard. And I'll come back to that in a minute. First of all, this band, you know, reset quickly if you don't know. Favorite band of all time. I'm a big Eddie Vedder guy. Favorite dude in the world. All those things. You likely already know that. But this band is not infallible. They are absolutely not. And I'll just go ahead and turn that down. This song sucks. This song is not good. And there are several songs that have been released this century that I have not been a fan of that might surprise some people, but there are a handful that I never want to hear. I mean, it's almost like when they have a bad song, it's a clunker of all clunkers for me. And it's a small amount. I mean, it is a very small sample size. And really, with everything they've done this century, it nothing ever jumps off the page is like, oh my God, did you hear, like, that thing is catchy. Now, there's probably a couple outliers that I'm not thinking of immediately, but not really. I mean, you've got to give their new music a couple of spins, as we would used to say, before it really starts to resonate as far as the lyrics, the layout of the song, the solos, the choruses, the verses, all those things. You don't just hear a Pearl Jam song generally one time and think, damn, what a great song. It usually takes a few times. I don't know how many times I got to listen to that song, but it's now been about 5 or 6, and I don't like it at all. It's 2 minutes and 20 seconds long, which, you know, I don't need 6 minute, 7 minute songs either, but 2 and change is not much. And if that is the best they've got for a second single, that doesn't speak a lot to me to where this album might go. And hopefully it's just a misstep by the A&R guys and the record labels. I'm not sure. We'll find out soon enough, because the opening single, Dark Matter, is a great song. I like it a lot. It's not transformative. It's not changing anything. And to speak to what those guys from the State of Love and Trust podcast were talking about, first of all, the number one song doesn't mean anything anymore. What does that even mean? It really is fabricated. It's made up. It is there's a metric, and it's radio play is really where it mainly comes from. It certainly isn't sales. They talk about it there. Well, the sales, forget about the sales. There are no sales. Who's buying music? Nobody. And if you are, you're a damn fool because it's free. So I don't understand that. But where it really comes from is radio play and Spotify, I guess Amazon and Apple Music, their metrics go in there too. Not I guess, they definitely do. But they really still pull Billboard is where these come from, the alternative rock charts. This isn't number one in the land. That's another thing that's misleading about it. Pearl Jam's got a number one song. Yeah, on the alternative rock Billboard charts, which is one of the most meaningless measurements in the industry because the music they make is not popular, so it doesn't really matter. And these guys from this podcast talk about how, what did he say? I just jotted it down as I was hearing it. The success of this song indicates, and I'm totally paraphrasing, that they are reaching new ears and new listeners. I just don't think that's true. I don't believe it for a second. I don't think there's anybody listening to either of these two new songs and saying, man, I never really cared about Pearl Jam for the first 35 years of their career, but now all of a sudden I do. So that's disingenuous and is making me probably not go back to that podcast. I gravitated towards it because I found it on TikTok, and they do a really nice job of making their little blurbs and their little promo videos, just like we do at The What, and just like I do here somewhat with an audio clip social media approach as well. So they get the best parts, and I thought these guys really know what they're doing. They're pretty good at this. And then I start hearing them talk about crap like that, and it turns out they're just super fans doing another boring podcast. And when the announcement of the new record was out, and I talked about it initially, I had mentioned my friend Brad in New York, who programs alternative rock radio stations. What I gathered from the conversations I had with him and the other things that I've looked at through just my own research online is that this is a massive industry push. It's not just the songs and the album and trying to get it to radio play enough so that it hits number one on the rock Billboard charts. It's also this tour coming up, and they are now charging, the band, the record company, the Live Nation, exorbitant prices for their tour also. And I'm the guy who kept saying, hey, look at Pearl Jam. They're the ones that always keep their dollar amounts really cheap. They keep their shows very affordable. If they can do it, anybody can. And now they're not even doing it. Now they've abandoned it. It's still on the lower end from where some of the other monster tours are, but it's way more than we've ever paid, starting at around $180 a ticket. They're doing the dynamic or the flux capacitor pricing, whatever the hell it's called. And some tickets are getting up in the $400 and $500 and $600 range with the algorithms and all the dreadfulness that is buying tickets online now. And so they've even abandoned it. Now, I'm not really mad about it. They don't have many of these left in them. They can't sell records because that's not a thing anymore. And so I don't, that's fine. It does go against everything I've ever defended them about. It just doesn't matter to me anymore because clearly it doesn't seem to matter to them either. But the big media push and the big record company push, the traditional media push, is to get this thing to number one. They fabricated. They did it just because they wanted that song to be number one so they could put it on all the press push so they can try to make as much money as they can off Pearl Jam for maybe the final time. I mean, they're all about 60 years old. They do this every 4 or 5 years. So you do the math, there's only a limited amount of time left to really cash in on what is a cash cow. They could charge more, and they would still sell every ticket. But it's pure fanboying to get on a podcast and say that the band is reaching new listeners and pushing the depth and the breadth of their musical boundaries and their talent. No, they're not. They're just making another album of music most people don't care about, except for us crazy people. And I don't love that song, but I'll love 2/3 of the rest of the record. The last one, Gigaton, wasn't very good either. Real quickly, this is from the exact source, Billboard.com. As Dark Matter climbs to the peak position on the rock and alternative airplay chart, It's Billboard's ranking of the tunes that reach the largest audience at both rock and alternative radio stations. It gives the band their first number one. And this is their first number one since 1998. I think it was 98. Back to this real quick. Somehow, despite being one of the most beloved rock groups in the world, Pearl Jam had never dominated this specific tally before this week. And you know why they haven't? It's because Billboard and the record companies didn't decide that that's what it was going to be in the past. And that's what they decided now. They decided to play it on the radio stations as many times as it took to where they can legitimately, or in their minds, legitimately say it's number one. When nobody's listening to radio, nobody! I'm not listening to radio. If I'm not listening, nobody is. How many times it got played on Detroit's alternative rock leader, or Seattle's, or Chicago, or tiny Peoria, Iowa, or is that Illinois? Either way, you get my point. It doesn't matter. It's been made up. It's not real. So anyway, I figured I always talk about how much I love them. If they release something that sucks, I'd go ahead and mention that as well. And so for the final second half of the middle segment here, I will go to one of my other favorite loves, baseball. Yes, I'm sorry to all the baseball haters out there. It is time to spend a few minutes on that because opening day is tomorrow. And I did just catch the Seinfeld the other day. I believe it's from the first season, one of the first episodes. It is still makes me laugh my ass off every time I see it when Jerry sits down at 1 a.m. to try to watch the Mets on VHS tape, and he does everything he can to not be spoiled, and then Kramer walks in, well, the Mets sure blew this one, and he hits the floor, what are you doing? And it's so funny because I will be tape delaying the opener in Philadelphia on Thursday. I think it's either a 3 or 4 o'clock start. Either way, I'll get started about 2 hours late, and I won't have to worry about anybody spoiling it because I'll just turn everything off. I can totally do that. It's no problem for me to disconnect from socials and online. I do it more and more and more. I am damn near 44 years old, so those kinds of things don't excite me like they used to. Meaning the obsession with notifications and the constant can't stay away from your phone and the connectivity and all that. It's totally simple for me to walk away from that. Not for long, long periods of time. I do get a little jonesing and I'm totally addicted to it just like we all are. But I will tell you this, Braves fans, the resurrection is happening for real. Allow me to be a heretic for a minute, please. The resurrection is for real. On Sunday at 1 o'clock in Philadelphia, Chris Sale, who they acquired, the pitcher from Boston in the offseason, has been carving fools in the spring all month long. Now, anybody who puts a lot of stock and thought and opinion and excitement into what happens in spring training is a fool. It is a foolish thing to do, but sometimes it's hard not to get excited. I'm going to go with my old never miss an opportunity to get excited saying. I don't know if I made that up on my own or heard it somewhere. I don't know. But never miss an opportunity to get excited. And right now, the way Chris Sale has been pitching, he's been hurt for a long time. If he has a big year, the Braves are going to be good either with or without him. But this is going to be a big time. And he starts at 1 o'clock Easter Sunday. My plan as of now, I have Sunday off from the other gig, the what? We're going to take the week off. Finally, after 20-some-odd years in this industry, I can get some holidays off around here. And I'm going to go get some crawfish from Champy's, and I'm going to watch the resurrection of Chris Sale and see if he can't carve up some idiot Phillies on an afternoon up in Philadelphia. So he is risen. We will find out soon enough. And really, actually, and when I wrote that, I actually wrote right next to it. Why is it he is risen? Sorry, I'm to be flippant about all this. Why is it not he has risen or he did rise? Why is it he is risen? It sounds stupid and it's grammatically incorrect, right? I mean, I haven't been schooled on any of this stuff in a long time. He has risen, right? That seems like that's what it should be. Anyway, all right. On to what else here? Oh, yeah, that's right. The new, or, well, the rebranding slightly of the Chattanooga Lookouts. I didn't see this coming. I don't think anybody else did either. I will just read it directly from the press release. The Chattanooga Lookouts are proud to announce a new alternate identity for the 2024 season. The new alternate identity is chosen to recognize Chattanooga as the birthplace of the wrecker and to honor the past, present, and future of the towing industry. For six games, the team will play as the Chattanooga Wreckers, featuring new on-field jerseys and hats in a dark navy and orange color scheme. The primary mark features a vintage wrecker in orange inspired by the inventor of the tow hitch, Ernest Holmes Sr. Miller Industries is going to have a lot to do with this. They are the presenting sponsor of the idea. The full brand kit and on-field hat and jersey were designed. A lot of people were upset by this in the comment section. I don't really care, but I get where they're coming from. By a design firm in Atlanta. So we have a lot of graphic designers in this town, and they go to Atlanta. But hey, I go to Atlanta for any design work I've done as well, because my stepbrother, Scott Sanders, is the official graphic designer of the Stone on Air podcast. So I don't care about that, but some did. Let's see. So for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 dates this year, 2 in April, 1 in June, 1 in July, and 2 in August, they will wear this brand new look, the new name, the new everything. And really, all this is just to sell stuff. That's all it is. That's why anybody does anything. Alternate jerseys, alternate names. The NBA is the king of this. They do this like crazy, and they sell a ton of merchandise. And I really think this is pretty darn cool. I knew this, but I needed to refresh. The wrecker, of course, just mentioned in that press release, was invented in 1916 here in the city of Chattanooga by Ernest Holmes Sr., a garage worker who was inspired after he needed blocks, ropes, and six men to pull a car out of a creek. After improving his design, he began manufacturing them commercially. And then, of course, we have the International Towing Museum, which, when I first heard of that 20-some-odd years ago, I was like, what a ridiculous idea. The International Towing and Recovery Museum. It's on South Broad Street. It certainly will be good for the Lookouts moving down that direction. And certainly that'll bring another person or two in the doors of the Tow Truck Museum, which I am a little ashamed, a little embarrassed. Maybe that's the wrong way to put it, but slightly disappointed in myself. I think that's more fair that I've never walked in the doors of the place. I mean, I don't have to think it's a great idea to go give it a look, but I've never done that. Maybe I will now. It is a pretty interesting story how this came together. I won't read all of it. If you want to look, you can. Just kind of turned his old truck into a tow truck because there wasn't one around. And then he patented it. And then he sold the F out of it. And now we're the home of the International Towing and Recovery Museum. And it's a fun story. And it's another odd, quirky, cool thing that comes from this very important place of American, at least southern and eastern side of the country, American history. You can't tell the story without the city of Chattanooga. There's so many cool things that come from it. And this is another one. And any kind of homage to that, even if it is just to make money, I say is super cool. And then another thing here real quickly as I wrap up this second segment of the show for a show with nothing to talk about. I'm sure moving pretty quickly here. Thank you for being here. Renderings were released by Channel 9 today of the new joint. And, you know, this has changed so often, but so we don't really know what it's going to look like. But if it comes close to this, guys, gals, people who love just outdoor entertainment, even if you're not a baseball fan, this thing's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be absolutely beautiful if it's even close to these renderings. In Montgomery, again, won't waste and bore your time long with a description of this stadium they have for the Biscuits, one of the dumbest names in all of baseball. They have a stadium built into an old Civil War train station. Now, this is not that kind of history, but it is turn of the 19th and 20th century history we have down in the Wheeland Foundry site. And they have a immaculately beautiful, wonderful stadium in Montgomery. If we can get something that's anywhere near like that, which these renderings look like it will be like that, if not way better, and for $120 million it better, oh my God, we're going to be looking back on this, and this could be legacy building for Tim Kelly. We'll look back and say, you remember when that asshole Weston Womp said this was a bad idea? What a buffoon that guy is. And hopefully we still continue to have the economic push forward that we all hope for. And that South Broad District is something in 10, 15 years, we're like, man, remember when Kelly, remember that guy Kelly when he was mayor, what he pushed so hard to get? Look at this place. That's the expectations I have. And I don't think there's any reason to think that there's anything other than that coming. And I am more and more excited. And don't rush this thing, lookouts. Take your time. Have an alternative name, sell more merch, sell more stuff, and we'll have fun at AT&T Field for the next two seasons until we move into the new joint on the south side of the South Broad District. Coming up next, I'll wrap up the show with new music from Jason Lyles, local musician here in town, and I have another addiction that I got to fight, I got to get rid of. I'm being flippant but serious. I got to get rid of this certain addiction, and I'll tell you what it is next. So if you just paid attention to the headlines that you see on social media and the quick blurbs when you're bouncing around surfing online, or even places that I find as trusted business news sources like CNBC, which stands for Consumer News and Business Channel. If you're not looking close, all you see, 30-year mortgage, and here's the interest rate. 30 years this and 30 years that. Listen, you don't have to borrow money for 30 years. It's not a requirement. But if you didn't know any better, you would think that that's all that's available. Trust me, that's not all that's available. And why my guy Lee Brock is not a mortgage originator, he is also not just a realtor either. He buys and sells real estate. That's what him and his family have done for the better part of 3.5 decades right here in the city of Chattanooga, and he will help you with whatever your real estate transaction needs are. Give Lee a call at 653-2491 or Lee at lindabrockhomes.com.
Now more Stone on Air.
It's about to get all stupid up in here.
StoneOnAir.com.
Vaping. Put it down. If you're vaping right now, put it down.
This is just such a horrible idea.
It's a bad idea.
So why is it bad for
us?
What happened?
How does a vape work? The way a vape works is normally a cigarette is a combustion process where you're burning the stuff to get the smoke to inhale it into your lungs. Now a vape has a little coil that heats a liquid and then vaporizes the liquid.
Just sounds like a bad idea.
Problem with this is that sometimes the nicotine from vaping is even more readily available than from smoking, so you end up getting more addicted. Yeah, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot.
It's a good business plan. It's a bad medical plan to get you to quit smoking.
Yes, it is. This is new from Jason Lyles. The song is called Deflated. I just noticed the lyrics, sucking the air out of my lungs. Kind of works, right? I would guess Jason is my age. If you're listening to this, Mr. Lyles, if we've met, I do not remember, and I apologize for that. I bet we probably have. I've been familiar with his work for some time. And I really do value relationships. I'm not some guy who's just like, nice to meet, like you got to meet me 50 times. I try not to ever be that guy, but I'm also a middle-aged dude who just can't remember anything half the time. And when I started this show, damn near 8 years ago, it was to showcase local music. That was the reason. Now, I have come clean on that motivation, even at the time. I think I did it from the jump. But I'll certainly do it now. The reason I did it was to try to tap into that market. Not because I loved it as much, and I did like it a lot, but it was to tap into that market and try to get more audience from the fans of the music in this town. And it worked. It certainly did work until the radio station fired me of June of 16. And then it took a whole different turn, twist and turn into where it is now. But new music from Jason. He is a machine himself, playing a ton of shows. From all I can tell, he's just like any one of us. You know, we're just hardworking folks here in the city of Chattanooga trying to do creative things and have fun with it and trying to make a few bucks and live our lives. And he's got 8 shows in April, 7 in May, 9 in June, 34 for the year so far scheduled, which, you know, I guess doesn't sound like a lot if you're using metrics of monster bands and big tours and all that, but that's not the metrics I'm using. I'm using it from a working class guy making music and playing a bunch of shows. And he joins a list of a lot of people who do that. Ryan Oyer comes to mind, buddy of mine you've heard on this show before. He never stops playing. He will play your backyard if you want to book it and pay him a couple of dollars. Jack Ondelu, another one. All three of them played a show at Wanderlinger here recently, as there's new music from all three, and it all sounds good. What I really liked about this is it's got that 90s feel, and I'm a 90s guy, and if you do anything that sounds like it comes from that decade, it's going to get my attention, and it's going to get it quick. If I were to categorize it quickly, and I know people hate it, the musicians hate it when you do this, but sorry, that's what this is about. That's what this show's about, talking about things. If you remember Matthew Sweet, when Matthew Sweet tried to rock, which wasn't very often, but occasionally he did, that's the kind of vibe I'm getting. A little Weezer in there, right? A little maybe Fastball flavor from the more the mid to later 90s. It's not a grunge feel, not at all, and I don't think that's the sound he's going for. But whatever it is, whatever the goal was, I liked it and wanted to feature it on today's show. A couple things I pulled talking about his music. Music critics, music writers are some of the most insufferable types ever. I mean, they are just awful. Film and TV writers can do this. Certainly sports writers. They're some of the worst also. But really, I think that the top of the mountain of just overusing big words, $10 words, adjective-laden description overload is the music critic writer guy or gal. And here's an example of one that just is the perfect example. This is from, and congrats to Jason for getting in on a UK publication, or an online one anyway, from lostinthemanor.co.uk. Jason Lyles endures to unravel the mystery of the human experience, the trials and tribulations, the storms and whirlwinds of emotions one endures, and the hope that there is light and joy at the end of the tunnel. That's the highlighted part. I'll go ahead and continue. The soundscape, a combination of emotive melodies and passionate performance, blends power pop, alt rock, indie pop, and Americana in a way that is refreshingly unique and personal. There is an air of somber contemplation in the music, with swirling undertones of dark melancholy and hopeful segues, giving us a soundscape, let's use the word soundscape twice there, by the way, that is alive and conscious, relaying feelings and messages to the listener. The distortion-soaked guitars, lush reverb, heavy ambiance, jangly strums, and emphatic drums from a rich backdrop, and atop the rest of the singer's voice, expressive and sincere, uttering each word with honesty. The finale is cinematic, giving a fitting end to a moving track. Dude, I don't know a single thing more about this song than I did when I just turned it on and listened to it. This is what it sounds like. Do you like it or not? Come on, UK word salad mess. It's so annoying. This one's a little easier to digest. Deflated sounds to me like the perfect track for those people who want to feel like they've been hankering for sounds of the mid-90s grunge scene. Yes, the track isn't as thick as the likes of Nirvana, but what Jason has done here is bringing a lovely modern sheen to a sound that we can all agree is fantastic. Vocally, it's nasally, slightly in the same region as Liam Gallagher, but not as charging, more pronounced. When you combine all those elements together, it makes the track's runtime of nearly 5 minutes feel like a blink. It's a cool song, right? I like it. And that's all that needs to be said about that. So we'll go ahead and pull that down. As you heard from the open, the addiction I need to get rid of is this vaping thing. It is, it's bad. I didn't realize it was as bad until what happened to me the other night. It's not nothing big, but it was eye-opening, mind-opening. At the end of last year, I'm sorry for the regular listeners when I repeat and say things again over and over again, but sometimes I need to reset because I do like to think there are new listeners occasionally, at least I hope. I went to rehab for alcohol, and while I was there, I smoked cigarettes like crazy, like a bunch. And I've smoked cigarettes off and on my entire life. I hate smoking cigarettes. It's disgusting. And I really always have, except for when I was younger, because it's such a cool... I mean, I was one of the guys that thinks it's such a cool look. But the nicotine never really got me. It was only just a slight want, never a need, never a craving that I couldn't just quash with something else. And generally, that was just drowning myself in alcohol. So when I get out of there, I have now this mini addiction to nicotine because I've been smoking so much. And when I get out, I immediately go get a vape pen, which is what I've done in the past over the last 10, 15 years. If I found myself smoking too much, when vaping became trendy, I would get a little throwaway vape pen. And it was usually junk because it was a new technology at the time. And I would use it just enough until I just forgot about the cigarettes and then I'd move along and it wasn't a problem. I've done that two or three times in my life. And I thought, well, that'll happen again. It'll be no problem. This is what I'll do. And after a couple of months last year out of rehab, I'm getting the vape pens and I'm liking them more and more. And then they're running out on me pretty quickly. And so I'm thinking, all right, well, I need to get something that lasts longer so I don't have to keep stopping and dropping $20 every time I want to throw away a vape pen. And so then I buy a nice one, and then I buy the juices, and then I buy the little cartridge replacements and the filter replacements. And next thing you know, I got a whole damn drawer full of this crap. And I knew it was a problem, and I didn't want to continue doing it. And I would tell anybody who wanted to hear about it, anytime the conversation came up of how my year was going, I would say this, and this, but, big fat but, I'm smoking, or then now I'm now vaping, and I don't like it, and I wish I wasn't. And I got, and thank you to anybody who gave me this, because it was comforting, made me feel better, might have made me feel too good. I got regular, give yourself time to adjust. Allow yourself forgiveness. So, you know, so what? You're vaping too much. You're not drinking your life away anymore. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Until you look up a year later, and I'm smoking these things all the time. I have one in my hand right now. I don't smoke it while I'm talking, but while audio is playing, while I'm recording this show, I take a couple slugs off this thing. So the other night, I don't really smoke it during the day, so it's not like this constant, but I am thinking about it more and more. And then I realized I'm thinking about it more than I realized I was. And just some random night, a couple of weeks ago, I go to grab it, I go to take a hit, and it's dead. It doesn't work. It's broken. Shit. What do I do? Oh my God. I borderline panicked. I didn't quite panic, but I was, oh God, I don't, there's no plan B here. Didn't really think about what would happen when my vape breaks. I just didn't think about it. So I thought, oh, it's no big deal. This is not that important. I'll be fine. Well, I wasn't fine. I wasn't fine at all. My anxiety picked up very strong. It was a problem, a really big problem. So I jumped in the car. This is like 11 o'clock at night. I drove down to the store, got a pack of menthol Camel cigarettes. That's my go-to if I need them. And the first one was kind of like a, oh, God, yes, all right. Okay, I'm good. About halfway through it, all right, this thing is gross. And then by the time it's done, like, ugh, done with that. Walk back in the house, and what do I want the minute I walk in? A vape. Immediately. This cigarette did nothing. The cigarette gave me immediate relief for the nicotine and the menthol for just minutes, mere minutes. And I got depressed. I got down. I got blue, as they'd say. Anxiety was bouncing around my head. I was like, this is terrible. A cigarette doesn't even fix this, which I guess is good because I don't want to smoke those. I bought that pack of cigarettes. I smoked three. There's still 17. They're in the freezer right now. They'll just stay there. Somebody will come by the house someday and want a cigarette, and there they will be. And for a couple of days, or a couple hours, not days, I thought, well, this is going to be a really good test of willpower. Let's see how I can do. And I failed the test miserably. The next 24 hours was awful. It was as bad as I've felt in a long time. And all I could think about was getting a vape pen somehow, some way. And I went to the store, the vape shop, and bought one, a new one, an expensive one, the next day. And I'm back to vaping it constantly. And then I wasn't really paying attention. I am smoking this thing way too much. I talked to my doctor about this last year, probably May, April, May, June, something like that, and mentioned, hey, I'm vaping more now. Not smoking. I'm a little worried about it. And she said, this was a practitioner. It wasn't my actual doctor. I talked to them more than I talked to him because he tells me what I want to hear too often. But they were like, we're never going to tell you that you should smoke instead of vaping or that you should smoke ever. We're never going to do that. But with these being so readily available at your fingertips at all times, no smoke. There's no evidence. You don't smell like anything. It's not, if you're smoking cigarettes, you can't hide that. You'd stink. It's disgusting. These things don't do any of those things. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But she said, this could become a problem. You need to be very careful with this. And she was, hey, shocker, right? The doctor was correct. And a year later here, I'm almost hopelessly addicted to it. And that sucks. And that's the basis of the story. I pulled some stuff. Why is vaping so addictive, according to doctors, and did some highlights here. Vaping is more about the nicotine. It's a mental thing as much as it is a physical thing. All this stuff. I'm not even going to read any of that. But I got to work on that. And it really does appear that these are most dangerous to developmental minds. And while I would like my mind and body and spirit to continue to develop as I get older, the truth of the matter is it's not really, and especially it won't if you won't let it. But I don't, a cautionary tale, I guess, and lack of anything to talk about. that's why I went down that road today. But these mint juices and these pods and this Vaporesso is the name of the brand. It is smooth, it is cool, it is tasty, and it calms my nerves immediately. And it is and that sucks. That's not good. So I don't need to be in my 40s picking up a smoking nicotine vaping habit. The whole idea here was to get healthy, stay healthy, and live a long and fulfilled life. So that's the next thing to work on now. And that's all I got for you. Thanks for putting up with today's show, this week's show, the What Podcast. We do that every week as well. Every Wednesday, I 1-2 punch you with a couple of different podcasts. If you can get to both, I'd appreciate it. If you only have time for one, thank you for choosing this one. And another best show ever, hopefully in the near future. That list I'm still working on. And happy spring. It's a great time of year. It's great to be alive. I want to keep it that way. I want to stay alive. But for now, let's take a drag off the vape. Why don't we? Oh, my God. So delicious. So delicious. So Jason Lyles, Deflated, takes us out. The presenting sponsor of the show is Lee Brock. No word on whether he vapes or not. I don't think he does. 653-2491. He's a smarter guy than me. He does real estate, and he'll take care of you for any of those transactions in the city of Chattanooga. Lee at LindaBrockHomes.com. We'll talk to you again. It will be April. It'll be officially hashtag my month the next time you hear from me. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week later. Bye.
Just help me swallow.